Excuse me. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Morgan Dorks. This is a bi-weekly Daria podcast where we take an in-depth look at our favorite animated teenage misanthrope episode by episode. I'm Rob Press.
And I'm Nissa Lee. And today we are looking at season 4, episode 13, Die, Die, My Darling, in which a hair-dyeing escapade gone horribly wrong and an in-vehicle conversation gone horribly right flip Daria's world upside down in no time flat. The drama bomb approacheth. This episode aired on August 2nd, 2000, and being a season finale, was of course written by Glenn Eichler. Eichler's given us a number of episodes in our top 10, including Right Where It Hurts at 9, Through a Lens Darkly at 4, Jane's Addition at 8, and Partner's Complaint at 5. He also co-wrote the musical, though, so who knows?
I am so damn excited for this one. I gotta say, I'm looking forward to this.
No pressure.
Yeah. Well. Hey, we'll see how it goes.
No lie, I am feeling the pressure now.
Okay. So this is probably going to be a pretty lengthy episode. So why don't we jump right into our beat by beat?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. So we open on the face of a tiger staring right at us from an exhibit in the Lawndale Zoo with Trigger Hippie by Morcheeba playing in the background. More specifically, the tiger is staring at Jane, who is staring right back. She's there with Trent, who acted as driver. He asks if she's seen enough, she says she has, and the two depart. In the car, Trent asks why Jane needed to stare at a tiger for a while, and she says it's a surprise. He also asks why Jane didn't ask Tom or Daria to go instead, and she sort of dodges the question. He is suspicious, but in his own, you know, minimal energy kind of way. At the Morgendorfer residence early in the morning, Helen's in a rush to get herself together and out the door. It looks like she's somehow going to be even busier over the next few days. We cut over to the Lane residence sometime during the day where Let Me See by Morcheeba plays as Daria rings the doorbell and Trent answers. Tells Daria to head upstairs where Jane and Tom are hanging out. They apparently don't hear her over Peaches by the Presidents of the United States because Ooh. When she... because when she knocks and walks into the room, she catches Jane and Tom mid-makeout. Peaches by President of the United States is not, by the Presidents of the United States is not a makeout song.
No, but I have to say, a really funny choice. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Jane's quite visibly annoyed for a second, but gets herself together enough to show Daria her latest project, Tiger Stripes, for her hair. She's going to have tiger stripey hair. She's super excited about this project, and Daria is going to help make it happen. Daria looks about as thrilled as you might expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since I have been in quarantine, I've been considering all the things I could do to my hair, including just shaving it all off because fuck it. And one of the things has recently been, I'm going to dye my hair purple. I'm going to do it. And I have enough gray hair now where it'll actually show up as purple. But I still haven't done it yet. But I feel like, at first I was like, this is a sign. I should do it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe not.
I mean, yeah, this is the time, right? Like,
yes. Yes, it is.
When could it possibly be more opportune?
Right. I mean, I'm not having a professional cut my hair. You know, I'm having a family member cut my hair. And it's actually pretty awesome. I don't know why I pay for, $40 for a haircut.
Jesus Christ.
What? I mean, like, and that's low. Like, I'll go to the hair cuttery. Anyway, we're going on a tangent.
I wasn't saying that, like, oh my God, you spend so exorbitantly. I was saying that, like, I can't believe that's how much a haircut costs.
Yeah, I don't know. I really hate spending money on my hair. But anyway, this is totally tangential. And we have so much to cover. So.
Oh my God, we totally do. I'll start by saying Jane's painting of herself with the tiger hair, I think it would make a really awesome poster.
Yeah, you know, I love that she's so committed to the change that she's done a self-portrait. Like, she has planned this out to the point that, you know, it's art about art.
Yeah. Oh, it's really cool looking. And, you know, going by the, you know, we talked very early in one of our first episodes about how, like, if somebody in a cartoon draws somebody else from said cartoon and it's like a realistic or it's an accurate depiction of that cartoon character, have they drawn like a stunningly realistic portrait?
It's a mystery, but this would be super realistic, I think.
Yeah. It's an extremely accurate depiction of Jane as a tiger person.
Yes. I love that she had to go to the zoo as preparation for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows what a tiger looks like?
Well.
Has anyone checked in on tigers lately? They might have changed their look. We don't know.
Maybe they're purple now.
Yeah, they could be purple now. What if they look like penguins with eczema?
Oh, poor penguins.
So we're going to definitely dig into this a whole lot more over the course of this. But I've always kind of regarded this episode and Fire, the previous one, as sort of a part one and part two. And they definitely aren't, and they were never like marketed or presented as such, but they have definite like tonal and thematic similarities. I described them as a 1-2 punch in, I think, our last episode of Morgan Dorks, or like one or two before. And I'm kind of curious to see where your thoughts go as, you know, as we get through this one.
Yeah. I'll say this for now, that I can see where you're coming from. And I definitely see a connection between the two episodes. This entire season, we've seen the narrative arc build, which is, you know, unique to this season. And the previous episode was like the peak of the rising action towards the peak of the rising action, and this episode is like the climax, right? Yes, I know. Peaches!
I love it. This episode, for better and worse, shares a lot of DNA with the previous episode, and we'll definitely be digging into that. But also, Fire was a really good episode, so if you're gonna crib from anything, that'd be the episode to do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, "Wobble Wobble" by the 504 Boys plays as Jane and Daria are shopping for hair dye. Jane's marveling at the options while Daria is expressing an extreme reluctance to help out with this hair dyeing adventure. Jane thinks there are ulterior motives at play here, but Daria keeps insisting it's purely a matter of not having any confidence in her ability to do the job without screwing it up. Things get a little bit contentious, but we quickly move on. We cut back to the Lane residence kitchen, where Jane's been draped in a towel and Daria is mixing the hair dye. Daria again offers to have someone else handle this job the way it should be handled, but Jane drags her kicking and screaming into doing it herself. When she's painting Jane's hair, the two talk about the root of Daria's reluctance.
Puns! Peaches, Jane's puns!
Oh my God. Jane's convinced maybe Daria doesn't want to help her make her look even cooler than she already does, because maybe Daria is jealous of her and Tom, which is where Daria hits the brakes hard. She's angry Jane could accuse her of such a thing, Jane points out Daria is always, quote, accidentally barging in on her and Tom, or, quote, happening to find herself spending a lot of time with him. Daria is pissed at the accusation, and she isn't hiding her anger one bit. Jane suggests maybe they should talk about it after the dye job, but Daria insists there's nothing to talk about, and that Jane is, quote, delusional.
Whew.
Yeah, this gets right? This gets pretty rough pretty quickly.
Yes.
So I guess we'll get the lighter stuff out of the way. Like, I've never dyed my hair, but I did bleach the ever-loving shit out of it to look like Billy Idol for a college party.
I totally remember this.
Yeah, there are photos of it and photos of the bleaching process itself laying around somewhere, for better or for worse. I might dig those up at some point.
Share them with the internet, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, you know, that could be a Patreon perk.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. we'll have to think about that one. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally up to you.
I will say, the Billy Idol ended up being pretty awesome. The photos of the dyeing process looked pretty okay. What wasn't okay was that not too long after the dye job, when everything was growing out and I went to get a haircut to get rid of the bleached hair, the barber, who was a very, very old and toothless Italian man who did not speak a lot of English, decided I'd look best with frosted tips. So he left the bleached ends on. And so I had frosted tips for like a month and a half.
I was just laughing silently through all of that. Oh my God. I remember this. I remember the frosted tips.
Oh my God.
I remember being confused.
This was like 2006.
I know. I'm like, what time period are we in? Like, Rob really loves the 90s.
Oh, man. If only they knew.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I love that you were just like, I'm not going to do anything about this. I'm not going to correct this very old Italian man.
So, I mean, I was trying to correct him mid haircut and it just wasn't happening. And so, I don't know, by the time I got to the end of it, I was just like, all right, well, this is just going to be me for a bit.
We are totally cut from the same cloth, so to speak. I mean, I have endured so many bad haircuts to the point where I'm just like, yeah, whatever, it grows back. I'm like, I'm just going to tip them and go.
Yeah, this is not worth it. They have scissors in their hands. Things could get much, much worse before they get better.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this part in particular. Because this is not the first time, again, this is not the first time this, or not the last time this will come up through the episode, but I'm curious as to how you feel Jane comes off. Because my read is that she's being pretty unreasonable, and I feel like we can take Daria at her word that she's reluctant to help because she knows she's going to fuck it up.
Yes. Yeah, we can definitely believe her there.
Yeah, and some of this kind of overlaps with the discussion that we had in the last episode.
Can you remind me and everyone else what that discussion contained?
So we talked about how Jane was kind of pinging back and forth between, being unreasonable about how jealous she was, or how overly protective she was of Tom, how little she was trusting Daria at her word that there was nothing going on. And then also like realizing that she was being unreasonable and kind of like bringing herself back down to earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were also, coming down on Daria for completely denying the fact that there was anything whatsoever there, even though there very clearly is.
Yeah.
And there will be more discussion about that a little bit later on. But
yeah, we're hitting a lot of the same notes in that respect, throughout the episode.
Yeah.
But I don't hate that. Anyway, I have a lot of thoughts. So, you know, bear with me. My first thought is that, yes, Jane is being so pushy about this situation that she knows that Daria has no experience in bleaching hair. Daria clearly expresses her reluctance to commit atrocities against Jane's scalp. And, you know, Jane claims that this is something friends do to bond. And that is nice and everything, but it is a big red light to me. You know, she's recognizing that there is a need for them to bond, but to bond, she is forcing them into a situation that is not typical for them and will most likely not end well. So it really feels like she's setting Daria up to fail. And like, I'm also not really sure she's truly aware of what she's doing. So right. Like, that's the credit that I'm going to give her. Like, I think that Jane is kind of to this kind of point of desperation, right?
Yeah.
And she is just doing what she what comes to mind. She is a spontaneous person, right? So she's doing what comes to mind, what feels right to her, instead of, like, you know, what might be best for the situation. You know, teenagers, or you know, humans.
Yeah.
My other thought is that this is only one instance in which Jane is called delusional or crazy. Like, later on, she even asks if she is crazy. And I have to say that I really, really hate it. Like, it makes me cringe every time. And this isn't the first time this season. Like, I believe in the last episode or even before that, she's been referred to as crazy by Daria herself, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. People do stupid shit when they sense that their social system is falling apart. It is a survival mechanism. We're social animals, and when we suspect that we're going to be abandoned, even if that person is not so great, our primal brains believe we'll no longer be physically secure enough to survive. That's not crazy. Like, that is human. That is what our bodies do. So, right. And what our brain does. So we know that Jane isn't delusional. We've been following, like, we, the audience, know that Jane isn't delusional. We've been following this Daria Tom story arc, and Daria says nothing is going on because she wants nothing to be going on, but that doesn't make it true.
Right.
And she knows it. She knows that it's not true, you know, and we had Trent jab at her about that in the last episode. So maybe this seems a little bit harsh. Maybe I'm going a little too far here, but I'm going to go for it. What ends up happening here is that Daria is, like, unintentionally gaslighting Jane.
Yeah.
You know, she's saying, like, you're crazy. This isn't happening. You're imagining things. And even though it's unintentional, it's still gaslighting, and that can make a person feel crazy. So I have to say, like, I really sympathize for Jane in this situation. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm sympathizing with everybody. I have been on every side of this relationship situation.
Yeah.
And every side sucks. So like, I am not throwing stones or anything, but but I'm just, you know, calling things out as they are.
I think that you couched, when you said it was gaslighting, you couched it in, like, a, maybe this is kind of harsh, and because gaslighting is, you know, rightly associated with some truly, like, malicious intent and terrible, you know, and downright abusive situations. But also there, you know, we talked last episode about how there are certain aspects of these characters that we don't necessarily want to attribute to maliciousness so much as just like social incompetence or awkwardness. Yes. or you know, inability to know exactly what the right thing is to do at the time. And so you just kind of flail around and you fuck up. Like that happens.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll say it again. People don't always intentionally gaslight. Like, right. You know, it can be a knee-jerk reaction, but it happens. You know, it sucks. But it happens, and it's happening here. And like Jane's behavior is exactly the kind of behavior that happens as a result of that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Where she's sitting there wondering if she's just like dreaming all of this shit. But it's happening. It's happening around her. And you know, instead of everybody just kind of like facing facts as they are, you know, the poor Jane is left sitting there wondering if, like, is she paranoid? Is she delusional?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. So, that's what I have to say. The only other thing that I want to add on here, which is more commentary on the narrative, I think that this scenario is really interesting because Jane is making herself vulnerable in order to ultimately launch an attack. Like, I'm talking about the hair dyeing situation. Like, she is making herself physically vulnerable to set this trap right. for Daria. And I find that like really, really fascinating. I don't know a lot about tigers, but I'm wondering if there's some kind of connection there.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, toward the end of the episode, she, you know, it's implied that that's exactly what she's doing. Like it's implied that she might have inadvertently been doing this on purpose. Funny mm-hmm. as that sentence might be. And that is such a fascinating plot, right?
Yeah. It's complicated. And I like that.
Yeah. Well, Jane's a complicated person.
This is true.
So a little while later, Jane and Daria planted themselves on the couch to watch Sick Sad World while Jane keeps her hair in that shower cap thingy as the dye sets. Jane makes an attempt at conversation, but Daria is still quite unhappy with the accusations of betrayal. Jane tries to roll right past it and takes the shower cap off to ask Daria how the dye job has gone. And it has not gone well. Daria is mortified and looking for the nearest exit, but Jane gets to a mirror and, well...
What did you do to me?
I told you I was no good at this.
Can't you paint a lousy stripe?
I don't.
You did this on purpose, to take Tom away from me.
What?
Get out of here, Daria.
Let me fix it.
How are you gonna fix it?
I don't know.
Just get out.
Yeah, her voice reaches pitches that I've never heard before, right?
Yeah. Woof.
Yes.
It's bad. Yeah, that blow up goes down. It is painful to watch, and Wobble Wobble plays as we come to the end of the first act.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So this blow up has been brewing for a while now. And you know, if you want to kind of ignore what I was just talking about, you know, at the end of the episode where it's implied that Jane has done this intentionally. If you're just watching this and taking it at face value, it feels kind of on the nose. Like Jane's jealousy and anger feel a little forced, even knowing what we know from the previous 12 episodes of the season. And so like, instead of feeling sympathetic for both of them, like I want to, I'm kind of driven to feel way more sympathetic for Daria, who saw this coming from like a mile away and desperately wanted to avoid it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like logistically speaking, I know nothing about bleaching one's hair. You probably know more than me, but like, aren't you supposed to isolate the strands with like tinfoil or something. I feel like shoving it all into a shower cap is just not going to yield the stripy tiger results that Jane wants. So like, not really Daria's fault, right?
No, I don't believe it is. I'll tell you, when we dyed my hair, it was literally because it was like just bleaching the whole thing. It was just, hey, we're gonna put all this shit that burns on your head for a while.
Boy.
And I didn't have to like wear a cap or anything. I just had to kind of like sit there with it for a little bit. There's a lot of really good awkward photos of that whole process. I might dig those up. It's real bad. Act two opens with Jane, now outfitted with a baseball cap, in the car with Trent. She's angrily ordering him to go into the beauty supply shop and grab some black hair dye to cover up the mess. Trent's down because that's Trent. Jane expresses how pissed she is at Daria, asserting that nobody with the least bit of painting experience could possibly have fucked it up that badly. Trent says he didn't realize Daria had painting experience. Suddenly reasonable Jane starts to appear. She notes that not only did Daria not have any painting experience, but she never said she could do the job, and Jane had to drag her into it. She's clearly a little upset with herself and how she's treated her friend. We get a pretty sad little montage with multiple attempts by Daria to reach out and apologize to Jane going unanswered. Jody approaches Daria in the hallway to ask where Jane went. Daria covers by suggesting maybe she's sick. A nearby fashion club meeting drives Daria to want to vacate the premises. Jody asks Daria to tell Jane she hopes she feels better, but Daria points out that she's not sure she's going to get to talk to Jane again.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where to begin?
I'll begin here. Jane in a baseball cap? Not a terrible look.
Okay.
Oh, it looks all right.
I like how she demands that whatever black dye that Trent gets from the store is not named after a plant or food, or I can't remember what it was, but agriculture.
Yeah, this is something farm-ish.
Yes.
Nothing named after a crop or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked in the last episode about the importance of self-awareness after you've done something horrible. And it's nice to see Jane start to come around to the fact that she's probably treated Daria unfairly, with this whole thing. That said, it does kind of suck that we have to see like that same arc twice in two episodes.
Yeah. I think this is really an interesting moment where the needs of the plot and the realities of human beings conflict. Because, yeah, it sucks that we have to see the same arc twice in two episodes or more, maybe. But let's be honest, we tend to repeat our mistakes, especially at that age. So
yeah.
It doesn't bother me too much in the way I think you're saying, but this is more like established Jane issues now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of, it's interesting how many times over the past two episodes we've talked about like, well, when you're that age. And it's
but kind also of, now.
Yes, totally. But it's kind of I'm trying to draw a parallel because, you know, the first three seasons of Daria are so much about being a high schooler. And I feel like season four is really more about being a person of high school age. It's about being a teenager. And you know, part of that is the matter of, hey, you know, these characters have finally had some room to breathe. We're going to explore the space with them a little bit. We're going to dig into them as people. We're going to throw new situations at them. And it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, falls out of that. And you know, that in and of itself means, all right, well, we're going to look at these folks in a broader context than just they're all high schoolers. And I feel like, you know, a fair amount of this season has been a matter of like, hey, you know, what's it like to be in your late teens and, you know, dealing with all of the things that people in their late teens deal with. And, you know, it's obviously so much more than just high school. It's, you know, the relationships you keep and, the friends you're around all the time and the friends you're not necessarily around all the time and the things that can go wrong and the things that can go right. And, how difficult it is to navigate all of this crap. And so much of it is still super crazy relevant because newsflash, it's still really difficult to navigate this crap.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. But, you know, I will give Jane credit that she is still, you know, despite being spread so thin across like friendship and relationship and, you know, not really having the family support that some may have, she's still doing things that, you know, she loves to do. She's still making art and being Jane, you know?
Right.
So, you know, good for her. That's all I gotta say about that.
I think they're all doing pretty good.
Like, yeah.
They're doing fine. Like these, you know, these blow ups are tough to watch without a doubt. Like these conflicts are, you know, painful to see just because we've grown attached to these characters. But also they happen all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, these are relatively normal fights for people of this age to have. And you know, most of the time it kind of ends up like it does here where, you know, it's stressful times for a bit, but everybody kind of drifts back together and
cools off.
Yeah, totally.
I'm pretty sure Jane. I'm pretty sure Jane is like hiding in part because, you know, her hair is a mess and also because she's just mortified and feeling like unsure of how to repair the friendship. Right. Also, doesn't it take actually a while to dye your hair back once it's been bleached? Like you can't just like go to the store and buy black hair dye and it's fine. Is that right? I don't know.
Yes, I am definitely the person to ask about this.
I don't know. I have a feeling that like you're not really supposed to do that.
You're probably, I mean, just of the sheer amount of chemicals that you are dropping onto and around your scalp at that point in a very limited frame of time frame has to be not great. I can't imagine that being awesome for your hair.
Yeah. I also think it might change funny colors, but I may be wrong. Again, absolutely no experience doing this.
You know what? I feel like this is something that our fans would actually be able to drop in on
pretty easily.
Yeah. Hey, folks, how does this work? Please tell us.
We're clueless, and we've got a podcast.
We're clueless. I had frosted tips. Tell me. Tell me how to avoid these things. whatever. I'm losing my hair now, so whatever. the good Lord above saw what I did with my hair and he said, nope.
You don't deserve it.
Yeah. Back at home, Daria tries to reach Jane on the phone and fails. She thinks for a second and then makes another call, this one to Helen's office. Helen is absolutely ripping someone a new one over the phone, which we hear in the background as her secretary, Marianne, takes Daria's call. Daria reads the room, so to speak, and tells Marianne she'll just call back later. She takes another second to think, and this time reaches out to Tom. He's happy to hear from her, but she's down to business. Where's Jane? Is she okay? Tom says she was okay enough to call him last night and make a bunch of crazy accusations.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's... Mm. Which Daria is obviously not thrilled to hear. Tom tries to chat a little further about it and brings up the parade, but Daria's having none of that. She pulls the ripcord, gets out of the situation, and says she'll just go to Jane's again. They hang up. Over at Jane's, Daria rings the doorbell and, hey, Jane answers, with black hair. She's in a considerably better mood. Daria apologizes profusely and the two head inside to talk. Turns out she wasn't answering the door or the phone because she's been feeling overwhelmed and needed to take a mental health day. Hell yes, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. Daria apologizes again for the hair, which is only part of what overwhelmed Jane. When Jane asks about the other part, the part where she accused Daria of trying to take Tom away from her, Daria gets defensive again. Sure, she doesn't hate the guy as much as she once did, but that's not saying a whole lot. Jane gets direct. Does Daria want to go out with Tom? Have they made out? Daria dismisses the concept as wholly ridiculous, and Jane agrees, acknowledging, without saying it, that she's being a bit absurd. Hair apology accepted, and things seem like they're going to be just fine.
All right.
Yeah, covered a lot of ground here. What do we think about Daria reaching out to Helen?
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. It's such a great little touch character wise. And it's a wonderful other layer / beat to Daria's downtroddenness when it turns out to be like a fruitless endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this episode digs pretty deep into female relationships and, you know, how difficult it can be to navigate them and how, you know, and falling back to mom's advice is, you know, is a natural move. It's exactly what someone would have done in this situation. Someone with like a relatively healthy relationship with their mom would call. It's heartwarming. It feels right. And of course we get to see Marianne cowering in her secretary's chair. So I love it.
I think, Helen's yelling on whoever the hell is on the other side of the phone is just being absolutely decimated. And Helen yells something like, I don't care if your mother's wedding, I don't care if it's your mother's funeral, get it together. Something like that.
Yep.
Oh, Christ. So we lavished quite a bit of praise on last episode's conversation between Daria and Jane that happened in Jane's room. We considered that like a very straightforward attempt to hash things out, but this one feels like even more direct. Jane kind of just lays all of her insecurities out there and she gives up on the, last time she said, whether you mean to or not, you're making things more difficult. And you know, there's a level of like, you know, hey, look, I know you're probably not trying to fuck these things up for me, but you're kind of fucking things up for me a little bit. Can we figure that out? And she shelves that this time in favor of basically just saying like, hey, are you stealing my boyfriend? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously you feel for Jane. It's also like an incredibly difficult situation for Daria, who at the very least has to be tired of deflecting questions about this. And it sucks even more when like you're being shut out and you're being accused of betrayal by your best friend. So you know that like if anything goes wrong in this conversation, it could be just catastrophic for you and your, you know, social safety net, so to speak.
Yeah. Definitely giving Jane credit here. It's very brave of her to,
yes,
to lay it down like this. Of course, I am still a little disappointed in Daria's reaction. Can you picture me making out with anyone ever? It's just like, really? I mean,
it's not a, I think it's, I think that's a line that is made infinitely worse by the scene that happens immediately after
it. Yeah.
Because up until that scene, the scene that comes after this one, Daria asking Jane, can you picture me making out with anyone ever, is not necessarily an unreasonable thing to say to me anyway. Like I feel like that's a fair question. obviously though, like this is obviously going to contradict itself in all of a couple minutes, which, you know, is, I think that goes only further to show that, like, yeah, Jane was right about this, whether or not Daria wanted to admit it or knew to admit it or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So all in all, good scene. And exactly, of course, the conversation that's going to be had right before the next scene.
There's a podcast that I talked about this podcast on. I had a wonderful 2-hour live stream conversation with friend of the podcast, Dougie Style, this past Wednesday. I'll actually link to that conversation in the show notes.
So 2 hours. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I haven't talked to anybody for 2 hours straight in a very long time, aside like you, basically.
Yeah.
But it was great. It covered all sorts of different things. It covered, obviously, we talked about Daria. We talked about 90s culture. We talked about 90s music culture and music culture of today, and LGBTQ representation and just so many different arenas were covered in those 2 hours. We talked about your hatred of the musical.
Now I really have to listen.
That's like an hour 45 in. So if you get straight ahead to that. But yeah, it was a really great conversation. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. So you'll get to check that out.
Sweet.
I completely forget why I thought to bring that up, but it was something that we covered in that discussion. Oh, well, point is, go check that out. It's a pretty good talk. I wish like hell I could remember what the segue was, but I don't got it. It's very late and I'm very tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find the threads.
you're doing the Lord's work. this episode almost didn't get to you this week because I've had all sorts of cat related issues this past couple of days. And I have been, this is the best that I've been in a couple of days. Up to this point, I have been a total emotional wreck. It has not been great. But things seem okay. So
cats.
Yeah. They're horrid. They're horrid creatures. He's horrible and horrible and terrible, and he misbehaves all the time, and I love him so much. Anyway. Okay, so on to the trouble. Simple Kind of Life by No Doubt plays as Daria walks home that evening to find Tom parked outside. He doesn't want to go in because the fashion club's doing weird, weird things in there. He asks Daria to get in the car, and she does. Once seated, she asks if he wants to talk about Jane. He doesn't. He wants to talk about his and Daria's situation. Daria angrily retorts that they don't have a situation, and she goes to leave. He stops her and asks why everyone's so mad at him. Daria lays into him, saying he went and screwed up her only meaningful friendship. He replies by saying that all he did was meet a girl he liked, and they went out for a bit, but they got bored of each other, and that's nobody's fault. Daria asks if he'd still be bored with her if she weren't around, and he says yes, and also she'd be bored of him. He says either way, it has nothing to do with Daria. She says good, because she's not interested in him, and she'd be stabbing Jane in the back if she even thought about it. Tom agrees, and what kind of jerk would that make him? The pace is picking up. The two seem to be in some kind of agreement, maybe, sort of, right up until Tom leans over and kisses her. After a second, Daria pulls back and curses loudly. Tom says he liked it too. Daria says that's not funny, and it's only a second or two before they're kissing again, as Private Emotion by Ricky Martin slowly fades in the background. Daria, in a state of shock, flees the car with a quickness, and we come to the end of Act 2 with Private Emotion playing us out.
Whoa, boy. Oh, yes.
I very distinctly remember going, oh, shit, when I first watched this.
Yeah. I mean, we know, like, as soon as he's there in the car, like, don't get in the car, Daria.
Yeah.
Right. I have to say that there's something so nostalgic about these, like, intimate moments in cars between teenagers, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So nostalgic. Like, all of the moments have happened, you know, in cars. For me, I don't know, for everybody. I mean, it's just, you know, like the moments where you have like the deep heart to hearts, the kissing, yes, the betrayals, yes. You know, and I mean, the fact that they're just outside of Daria's house, little weird. but like, you know, when the two of them get in the car, it's just them, you know, and it's
right.
It just seems so appropriate that this is the setting, this is the scene. Yeah,
it really does. There's that sense of, like, you know, you go on like a first or second date or something, and you, like, you know, you're parking to drop the person off or something like that, and like they take a little bit longer to get out of the car than a person who wanted to get out of the car would take, and there's that awkwardness of like, well, are they gonna lean in? Am I gonna lean in?
Yeah. What's happening? Yeah, there's also the fact that Tom's car was the big pull in his like hooking Jane, right? Yeah, they're at yes. they're at the club or whatever the hell it is, the bar, and he has a car and it's clunky as hell, but, you know, Jane is like, let's go for a ride.
Right. That's like half the appeal to Jane.
Yeah. And now he's pulling up in his car, which doesn't seem nearly as clunky now, right? And you know, this is you know, his pull now.
It's clearly working.
Yeah,
he has landed the two coolest girls in Lawndale
by our standards.
Which are the only standards that matter. I point you to the episode rankings.
Completely scientific.
Friend of the podcast, Matthew, pointed out on Twitter that Ricky Martin's probably among the last things Daria would want playing over her first kiss, but here we are. I will say the chunk of private emotion that we hear in the episode is pretty much the only good part of private emotion.
I have no idea what chunk of it is.
It's like the opening 30 seconds or so. It's just the like opening instrumental bits, which is
okay. So like, I actually did not know this song, and I looked it up and played it, and I stopped about 30 seconds in because I was just like, no, thank you. This is not worth my time.
Yeah. I say, even as someone who actually kind of likes Ricky Martin, I don't mind Ricky Martin whatsoever. I don't have the stigma about him that so many who grew up in the 90s do. It's not a great song. That first, you know, that first, like, that opening instrumental is A-okay. I think it really works for this moment. That, like, piano in the background is very pretty and all. But yeah, well, once you get past that point, it's okay to turn it off.
Oh, I do want to mention about this scene. It's a small detail, but thematically appropriate. I love that the fashion club is described as getting like all animalistic in their blush rituals. I think it's very appropriate. Very, you know, is it the tiger or is it the woman? Is it the tiger or is it the lady?
Oh, that's pretty good. I didn't even, oh man.
That's why you have me here.
Yeah, absolutely. We need somebody with brains.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I do speak in cliches. Come on.
Yes, but they're more literary cliches than the ones I speak in. Anyway, you're brilliant. Please never leave. Morgendorfs need you. Act three opens at the Morgendorfer breakfast table, where Jake is reading the paper and getting pissed about Lawndale making it illegal to shoot or drown squirrels.
What?
Yep. I don't have the bandwidth to get into that. Darcy shows up to the breakfast table in a basically catatonic state. Jake doesn't really notice and has to head off to work. Quinn enters as he leaves and actually does notice that Darcy is kind of out of it. Daria breaks her silence to ask where Helen is, and Quinn says she's at work. Daria, clearly out of options, decides to try and seek Quinn's advice, but it doesn't really go all that well.
If your best friend were going out with someone and you kissed him, would you tell her?
Are you crazy? Why would I do that? God, Daria, you've got to lay off all those books before it's too late. I don't even know how I live in the same house.
Fantastic line. I have to say, like, before we like dive back into the beat by beat, like, Quinn's sense of loyalty to these girls that treat her so badly, you know, like she just has awful friendships, but her loyalty is so strong. You have to admire that. Her code. Yeah,
absolutely. Quinn's such a better person than the way she is treated by basically everyone in her life.
Yes.
And it really kind of sucks.
That's all I had to say. So you can keep going now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So off to Lawndale High we go, where Daria is walking the halls alone with Ride or Die Chick by the Locks playing in the background, until Jane comes romping around the corner. Jane's upbeat. She's peppy. She's curious.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no. Boy.
Yeah. It's the the steamroller of this scene. It's just like you see the disaster looming, and it's just so painful to watch this. She's curious why Daria didn't want to come to school, didn't want to walk together to school this morning. Daria, dreading what's about to come, stays quiet for as long as possible until Jane straight up just asks her what's wrong. Daria confesses she kissed her boyfriend. A clearly very hurt Jane runs away while Daria shouts her apologies. A crowd gathers around, and Daria glumly just wanders off.
What a scene.
Right?
Yeah, just like right there in the hallway, yelling, "I kissed your boyfriend."
I appreciate the, one of the things I really like about this scene is the restraint, where it could have been, this could have been such a blow up, right? Like this could have been, you know, the screaming match in the middle of the crowded hallway, like that, you know, it's cliche in its own way. And instead what we get is, Jane can't even stand the sight of Daria right now. She's so pissed and she's so hurt, for so many reasons beyond even, and you know, this goes back to what you were talking about. This is not only, hey, my best friend has stabbed me in the back. This is, hey, my best friend called me delusional for saying that this was a possibility.
Yeah.
My boyfriend called me, or my boyfriend accused me of being crazy. I've been tearing my hair out over, well, I've been, you know, kicking myself for even daring to think such things were possible. And here we are.
Yeah. And I finally come around to trusting everybody again.
Right. And now it's blowing up in her face, and there's so much, there's just so much pain involved to that entire, you know, 5 seconds where she's just staring at Daria and just decides she's going to run away. I don't know. It's really tough to watch. Now that said, obviously Daria is not in the right here. However, credit where it is due, she did confess face to face the very first chance that she got.
Yeah.
The show, which is to say both Daria, the show, and our show, came down on her last week for what seemed to be her like willful ignorance of the situation. And if we're going to dig into her character a bit and look at both what she said right before, you know, we were talking about how she said, "Can you picture me making out with anyone ever?" You know, what she said before and how she's reacted to what happened with Tom in the car, we have to wonder, or I guess rather we have now the confirmation, that the thing that's been keeping her from acknowledging what's going on with Tom is knowing that anything that happens between them is basically automatic doom for her friendship with Jane.
Yeah.
And this scene in the hallway is exactly what she's been terrified about the entire time.
I mean, remember how distraught she was when Jane was running track and wasn't around. Now Jane is just not there. You know, Jane actively hates her.
Right.
Yeah, it's bad. But yes, I've got to give Daria credit. She's a better person than I am. she was honest.
This is like, oh, the times I've done this, I've just told them by postcard years after the fact.
I mean, I'm just saying that, like, she's, yeah, she's honest at that age. Good for her, you know?
Yeah, that is not whatsoever an easy thing.
No. Like,
it's
absolutely
extremely,
not.
Extremely difficult. And yeah, so good on her for that. But all around, just goddamn, it's difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Below the Sliding Doors by Blinker the Star plays as the doorbell rings at Tom's house. It's Jane, and she's processing things.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Go to hell.
Hey. Stop. Ow.
How could you? How could you?
I didn't mean to. It just happened.
How could she?
She didn't do anything. It was all my fault.
Oh, don't give me that.
She didn't want any part of this. I screwed everything up.
Now what?
I don't know.
The two end up sitting on a swing set, presumably on one of the remote acres of Tom's palatial estate, and talking things out. Tom points out that they should have just broken up, which Jane initially recoils at, but quickly agrees that, yeah, things were coming to an end. Jane Riley suggests that Tom's going to have a ton of fun dating the fun-loving Daria. Tom notes that he never said he was going to go out with her, and he realizes how antisocial she is. Jane steps to Daria's defense and soon realizes she's not sure exactly what she wants to happen. She does, however, want to make sure Tom wasn't just going out with her to get to Daria. The interaction that follows is also worth playing.
All that time, were you going out with me just to get to her?
Are you crazy?
I don't know. Am I?
I really like you, Jane. You're smart and you're funny. You have a great attitude. You do everything on your own terms. You're like from a cooler world.
I am, aren't I?
You really are.
Too bad you're such a dork.
I know.
And thus the story of Jane and Tom has come to an end.
Whew. I think this is just an impressive conversation in terms of like how logical
there's a maturity to it.
Yes, mature, you know, self-aware. It's just, wow, I wish, you know, the end of every relationship were so, you know, kind. <Yeah.
laughs> Yeah, everybody's chill. This is as smooth as breakup talks go when you're this age.
Oh, yes.
Also, absolutely worth pointing out, Jane Lane, best friend, appears out of nowhere to jump to Daria's defense here. And I think that is an absolutely fantastic touch.
Yes.
You know, she is at her most conflicted. She obviously is still extremely angry and extremely upset and extremely hurt. There are so few who would immediately turn around and be like, yo, fucking back up. Daria's okay. In this situation. And she absolutely does immediately.
Mm-hmm. And
defending Daria from like such a minor criticism, all things told, like he says she's antisocial. That's not unfair.
No. No, it's not. I think that her true concern, you know, she voiced, you know, she said, were you going out with me just to get to Daria? It's fair for her to wonder that after all of this time in which, you know, they've been developing feelings for each other and telling her nothing is happening. So of course she's going to wonder, like, were there motives there that I didn't see.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And to be told to her face that she's crazy for thinking that is just kind of one last, just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
I will say in the writer's defense, you know, gaslighting and the subtleties of gaslighting were not anywhere near as widely explored or discussed.
Yes.
In the public discourse at the time that this was written. You know, we're talking 20 years ago. So it would not. I feel like if this show were written today, if this episode were written today, there would be probably some writer's room discussion about not stepping on that particular landmine, not saying the things that these characters are saying in that context.
Or at least having Jane push back.
Right. And call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have to provide that context. Sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just wasn't as much of the public conversation as it is now. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And good that it is. It's good that we can, you know, sit there and call something out like this. Over at Helen's office, Helen is freaking out about how much she needs to get done when she's interrupted by Marianne. Helen berates her for the interruption until Daria walks into view looking just despondent. The two end up at a nearby restaurant where Daria tells Helen everything and confesses to having no idea what to do next. Helen tries a few different avenues in the effort to console Daria, but none of them really work because it's just a really shitty situation and there's no getting around that. Helen eventually tells Daria as much, but also tells her that it's going to work out. She didn't set out to hurt anyone. Things get out of control and sometimes they outright suck, but life is just going to do that to us sometimes. Her honesty gets through the wall that Daria's put up, and the two actually share a really nice little moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great mom moment for Helen here. I think it's just a really great conversation. In an episode full of good conversations, this is a really good conversation. And this is the... It's the sort of talk that we can tell that Helen's been dying to have with Daria for a few seasons now. You know, the kind of talk where we know she wants to be able to deliver on this talk because she values her ability as a mother. And it was great to see this work out as well as it did.
Yeah, she has this line where she says something about how like life is hard and you just keep going on and we pretend that it's not or something along those lines. And I'm like, damn, Helen, tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, really uplifting talk, huh?
But there's a what better way to get through to Daria in this moment, though, than to say, like, no, you know what, you're after Daria's entire life, she has been told over and over again that there's absolutely no reason to be as glum as she is. There's no reason to be as downtrodden or sad. She's been called the misery chick. She's been told that her worldview is bizarrely cynical. And this is Helen finally like looking her in the eye and saying like, no, you know what? Shit sucks sometimes. Like this is not, yeah.
Like we don't have things under control. It's all a farce.
Right, right. And look, there's a day in every young person's life when they realize that the adults around them who seem to have had everything under control and figured out are really just making everything up as they go. It's an important day for every young person. And yep. Maybe that day is today for young Daria.
Yes. Or for me. No. It's something I have to remind myself of every day.
Yeah, it's so tough to break that programming, right? To be like, no, everybody else has everything under control. Why can't I figure it out? And then you remember like, no, everyone else is kind of, you know, with very, very, very few exceptions, everyone else is just kind of making it up as they go because who has the time or energy?
Yes. Yeah. And then you have that moment in a meeting where you're like, oh shit, you think I have the answer.
You fools.
Well, let's see what we can do.
Yeah. We're all about to learn a little something. All right. So we cut to Jane walking forlorn and alone down the street. Trent pulls up and offers a ride. She reluctantly accepts, and with Charm Attack by Leona Ness playing over the radio, Trent takes the opportunity to express his sympathies for the breakup. Jane says she knows it'll be fine, but she still feels pretty lousy right now. Trent asks where they're going, and Jane begrudgingly says Daria's.
Aww.
Yeah. Jane admitting that she knows things are going to be okay, but saying, how come every 5 minutes I feel like I want to throw up? And Trent saying, I don't know, you haven't been eating out of the refrigerator again, have you?
Yes. The Lane refrigerator.
Actually, between this episode and last episode, I really appreciate this late season push for Trent to be this like arbiter of sage wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, he's found his place, right?
Right. It's such a good niche for him. Like, it's exactly where I've wanted him to be this entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sage big brother.
Yeah. It's so good. All right. Let's roll into our final scenes here.
Oh, well, I do have to say, sorry, I think that it's particularly appropriate because we've just come out of the conversation where where Helen says, nobody knows what they're doing. We don't have any control over anything. And here we have Trent, who has no control over anything, delivering the wisdom. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. this episode has so many, it's such a well-written episode, and it keeps like bolstering itself and like playing against itself in really clever ways. I don't know. I really appreciate that. So at Daria's, Jane and Daria sit down in the living room to talk things out. Jane tells Daria that her and Tom broke up and that she's relatively okay with Daria and Tom dating. I mean, she's not, actually, and some part of her is still pissed, but also Daria and Tom makes kind of a lot of sense. The whole thing's complicated, though, and while Jane knows Daria never set out to intentionally hurt her, she's still hurt, and that's going to take a bit. Daria asks if they're still friends, and Jane is noncommittal. Daria checks to make sure this huge rift is only temporary, but Jane's not too sure that it is. And with that, she leaves, and Daria's alone again, looking downright bereft. We cut to Daria's room where she's laying in bed looking up at the ceiling. The phone rings. Daria calls out for Quinn to answer it, but when she doesn't get a response, she eventually figures to hell with it and picks up the phone. It's Tom. And with everything in shambles and her only meaningful friendship potentially over, the look of uncertainty on Daria's face is the final image of season 4. We go to credits with Cake's "friend is a four-letter word."
Whoa.
Yeah.
I feel like this episode, this beat by beat, has been all just exclamations from me. Heavy stuff, man.
It's a heavy episode. There's so many moments in here that just, that, you know, there are so many moments in here that we could just expand upon for like a half hour each.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say that when you hear Tom's voice, it's like, it's just such a mix of emotions, right? You're feeling like, oh, that's, you know, you feel elated that they're talking to each other. You're relieved that she has somebody to talk to. And you're just like terrified that she's going to make a terrible decision at a moment where she feels most vulnerable, you know?
Absolutely.
So what a way to end the episode and the season.
Right. It's that look of uncertainty is so perfect because, like you're saying, it matches the audience response perfectly. It's like, yeah, oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. And I mean, what, like, you know, obviously, you know, Daria is going to have a very complicated, you know, things are going to get very complicated for Daria. Things already are very complicated for Daria. What a bummer to see Jane this, you know, busted up. It's just tough. It is such a difficult and emotional end to a season of television. And a pretty brave way to just be like, all right, yep, that's season 4.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been building to this moment the entire season, right? I mean, we knew it was going to happen.
Right.
I mean, eventually, the season end. Wow. Bold. But it's so interesting. You know, we enter the season, you know, with Daria hating Tom and, you know, being jealous of the friendship, about this separation between her and Jane because of him. And now that rift is wider.
Right.
But for different reasons. Man. What a turning point, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
Such a big episode. And by the way, the conversation that Jane and Daria have in the living room at the end of this episode is one of the most genuine and natural that we've seen in this entire series. Like there's very little overstatement. There's very little, it just feels like a real conversation. Like, I don't know any other way to put it, you know?
And it's really, it's just nice to see Jane be honest and Daria be honest with themselves and each other.
Right.
You know, everything is out now. You know, it sucks, but they're finally to a place that's healthier. Right.
Right. Right.
And it just feels good to see Jane be like, yeah, no, I don't know if I'm okay with this, and we'll see.
Right.
You know,
and you can see the conflict, you know, within her, where like she blows up for a second in this conversation. You know, Daria says something like, or, you know, so you don't hate me. And Jane immediately just like snaps. She's like, of course I hate you. You told me you weren't interested. The next minute you're making out in a car. Why the hell did you even get in? Like, and totally reasonable, completely fair questions and statements.
Yes.
Nobody can blame her for that reaction. At the same time, in this conversation, you know, she admits like, hey, yeah, maybe the whole hair dyeing thing was, you know, foolish of me. I don't know, you know, I don't know what made me think that it would be okay to drag you through that. But she also says, I think importantly, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that maybe she was just trying to bring things to a head.
Mm-hmm.
Which Daria points out, hey, head.
puns, peaches.
Yeah. but yeah, it's such an interesting look at that, or it's such an interesting take on that, on this whole plot, where it's less that Jane's like desperate to hold on to this friendship and trying to find ways that they can bond, and more Jane's doing something that she knows is going to absolutely go down in flames, specifically because she wants to make this happen sooner rather than dealing with the uncertainty of the status quo.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. If she did it on purpose, it was, you know, a subconscious drive. As I said, you know, people do stupid shit when they feel like their social systems are falling apart. And, you know, in some ways it's much more of a relief to have it fall apart and have it over with than to, you know, question your sanity. So.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's doing what she needs to survive, I suppose. Oh, there it is.
Oi.
Yeah. I think something that we never really talked about, though, is Daria's reaction in the car to kissing Tom.
Where she just yells, damn it, three times in a row.
Damn it, yeah.
damn it.
There's something like really satisfying about that.
There really is.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's so genuine. It's so like, Christ. Everything just got way more complicated.
Yeah. Why'd you have to do that?
Right.
Damn it.
Why'd you have to do that? Why'd I like it? This sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Very satisfying.
And very on brand. Like, of course, that's the reaction, right? Of course, it's immediately the wheels turning and the realizing how complex this makes things.
Yeah. And the damn it of like giving into it, you know?
Yeah. God, it's all very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we're going to have some fun with the episode ranking for this episode, but we have some cultural context to get through first.
Yes. Yes, we do. The question behind Jane's hair dyeing project, The Lady or the Tiger, is a reference to an 1882 short story by author Frank Stockton. We'll link to the story itself in the show notes. It is a pretty short story. You can get through it very quickly. But and you can find it pretty easily. It's kind of been published everywhere by now because 1882. In it, a king describes a king described as semi-barbaric doesn't use evidence or lack thereof to pass judgment on those accused of crimes. He uses chance. The accused is placed in front of two doors. Behind one is a woman the king has decided would be a proper match for the accused, you know, if they're not actually guilty. And behind the other is a dang tiger. Choose the door with the lady, and you have to marry her. Choose the door with the tiger, and you die, and we're therefore guilty.
In the story, the king's daughter, the princess, takes a lover. The king finds out and imprisons the young man, who then awaits his choice at the two doors. When the day arrives, the princess has already learned which door will have the lady and which will have the tiger. She's also learned that the lady involved is one she absolutely despises and considers to be healthy competition for the affections of her lover. During the trial, the young man looks to the princess for any kind of guidance. She subtly urges him to take the door on the right. He opens it, but the story ends there, and the narrator breaks the fourth wall to start talking about the situation, the princess's thought process, and the consequences of her actions. The entire piece ends with the author asking the reader, which came out of the open door, the lady or the tiger?
The princess, knowing she would lose her lover in one form or the other, princess, knowing she would lose her lover in one form or another, made a choice that we're left to ponder. It's an allegory for an unsolvable problem, which is what has been staring Daria in the face for some chunk of this season and came to a head. In this episode. Jane notes that Daria turns out to be a little bit of both the lady and the tiger, simultaneously innocent and guilty, earning Tom's affections and stabbing her friend in the back, despite not intending for either of those outcomes. This is so interesting. I think that... first of all, I have to note that the author, Stockton, has a very interesting style where, you know, he's basically telling a fairy tale, and he says, you know, there is a princess, as there, of course, and there is a lover, because of course there is, you know. You know, he's taking this, like, you know, very, very mundane, usual storyline and adding a twist to it. And I just thought it was interesting. Of course, you have to, like, wade through the language of the 1880s, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not so bad.
No, it's a fine read. It's a quick read. And it's neat. Like, the little, like, fourth wall breaking at the end is pretty cool. And it's, you know, as many fairy tales are, it's an allegory. So you get to do a little thinking at the end. That's pretty fun.
But at the same time, these characters are more complex than your typical fairy tale, at least, you know, what has been stripped down to the fairy tales that, you know, we're served today. These characters are complex. It's really cringeworthy, the like, you know, leaning into the barbaric nature of this king. You know, it's a foreign king, so of course he's barbaric. But it's really, it's just, they're complex, you know. The king has a bit of a sadistic side to him, and the princess has a lover, and, you know, she has jealousy, and, you know, we don't know what she's going to choose. I think that Daria, yes, is a little bit the lady and a little bit the tiger. Not just in the sense that, like, you know, Daria is a bit of the innocent and the guilty, but, you know, she is the possible suitor behind the door, right? Or and right. also like the deadly end to a friendship. Yeah. So it has layers. And of course, Jane was taking on that tiger persona with the hairdo. So like she's trying to end things. You know, she is there's like this recognition of guilt and a death to something, you know. So fascinating. And of course, she's the lady. But yeah,
like what a clever thing to weave into, into this story.
Yes.
And to do it that well and to call it out in the show. Like it's not just a neat little thing that's dropped at the beginning of the episode, to sort of like kick off conversation or something like that. Like it comes up again at the end. Like it's a conscious decision made by the writers, to, you know, draw these comparisons out.
Yes, it's a truly foundational allusion to, you know, right. to for this story, for this episode. Yes. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Having heaped even more praise upon this episode, what do you say we go into the episode rankings?
Yeah, we should probably do that. Are there weaknesses? Because I'm wondering, like, you know, you came into this episode, like, sounding like you were going to point out some weaknesses to the episode. And I was, like, truly curious if you had critique.
Well, all right, I'm going to put a statement out there in the universe.
Oh, boy.
I am curious as to what your reaction is. And I think it may take us it may help us move the discussion of the episode rankings along just a little bit. I think this is one of the best episodes of this series. And I'm wondering if it does not supplant the Road Warrior at the top of our list.
I think you're right. Like I have nothing to argue here. I have enjoyed the episode. I have been thrown back in time in so many ways in this episode, you know, nostalgia wise, as far as, you know, 90s, as well as, you know, personal nostalgia. And like, there's so much going on character wise, even Helen.
Yes.
You know, Jake and the squirrels.
I think I found exactly the amount of Jake that I am perfectly okay with, because even though he's sitting there talking about not being allowed to drown squirrels, like even there, I'm like, yeah, all right. That's exactly the level of hijinks that I'm okay with. Jake is there. He says a really ridiculous thing, and then he's gone.
And yeah, but works. even the ridiculous thing is woven into the fabric of this episode. Like, we're talking about, you know, the barbarity of this king in The Lady or the Tiger, and, you know, Jake is complaining about not being able to like deal with what he sees as pests, you know,
right. as like with fatal means,
you know, a threat to his domestic environment. Yes. So like extreme measures, you know, it seems, for something that's really like fairly innocuous, right? But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's appropriate. Like, it feeds into the rest of the episode.
Right. And it is, and it is quick enough, and it's quick enough and unobtrusive enough to where if, you know, if you aren't drawing that connection at all, it's not taking you out of the episode.
Like, yeah.
You're not going to stop everything and be like, oh, Jesus, what's Jake up to now?
It's not like a B plot. Like, the squirrels right. aren't a B plot. There is one plot here.
Yeah, that's it. This episode focuses extremely heavily on just a few characters, and I think it benefits greatly from that.
Yes.
You know, I think being able to let those characters play in the space, and yeah, I don't have any complaints. I enjoy this episode front to back. I was so excited to watch Fire and Die Die My Darling, because I knew that this was, you know, one of the best two episode stretches of the entire show. And you know, I am thrilled that 20 years after I originally saw this episode of television, it still holds up. Like, it's still fantastic. It still carries, like you were saying, there's a nostalgia to it. Absolutely. Going back to what I was saying a little bit earlier, where like there are a number of times in the first three seasons of Daria where, you get that nostalgia for like, yeah, that's what it was like being a high school student. And throughout this fourth season, and especially in this episode, you get that nostalgia for, yeah, that's what it was like being a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I felt it in my bones.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You know?
It was like, wait, did Daria like peek in on my life, or did I just like replicate what I saw on Daria and not even remember it? Sorry, everyone's getting a glimpse into my past that they don't really need.
Or could it be that just being a teenager is the same hellish roller coaster for everybody?
Absolutely everybody. Yes. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
Hey, we all got to tell ourselves something.
Yes.
So I think, you know, if there are no arguments to the contrary, I think that's where we're going to put Die Die My Darling. I think it's going to be number one on our list.
Whoa, this is momentous. It's number one. It's unseating the Road Warrior. Warrior. It's that South Jersey accent coming in.
Yeah, Wooder.
Well, I don't say Wooder.
Yeah, neither do I. I try very specifically not to, but man, it is tough sometimes.
Also, you know, Die, Die, My Darling. Nice pun. Again.
Yes, very
peaches.
Good. Let's see. So Road Warrior was season one, episode 11. There have been three seasons between the last time an episode got to the top of our list. I do not know how long ago that episode was published, but let's see. We've been doing this 2.5 years. That would be 22 weeks. Yeah, it's been probably a little over 2 years since that episode came out. So yeah, kind of, like you said, momentous. This is really something.
Yes. Do you think that this episode title, Die Die My Darling, does it echo that quote about killing your darlings? I don't know.
Yeah.
It
would work.
Yeah.
It can certainly be made to work.
Yeah. I don't know. Think about people as in relationships as drafts. Ouch.
Oh boy. All right.
All right. Let's not go further into my brain at this moment.
Well, Let's take a quick little dive into some fan mail.
Fan mail.
Yeah. So I'll read this one if you
sure,
want.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. So a while back, we talked about the differences between the aired versions of Daria in the UK versus the US. And we discussed how certain words and sequences get edited out for the UK audience. We weren't sure about why that was, but friend of the podcast, Thomas Godfrey, reached out from across the pond to drop this little tidbit. I notice you keep saying you don't know why some words and such are cut out of the British episodes. To my knowledge, it's because when the show originally aired, we aired it before the, quote, watershed, which is basically a time for Brits where our TV has fewer restrictions. It's usually 9 o'clock at night. Oh, and when the show was re-aired in the late zeros and early tens, they didn't cut as much.
The late zeros?
the late aughts, I guess. Aughts? Is that what?
Aughts? Yeah. Aughts? I don't know. It's new to me.
In the late 2000s, the late 2000s, yes. And the early 2010s, they didn't cut as much out of it, apparently. I had no idea that the watershed existed, but man, that's such a British name for
totally.
I love it. Thank you, well, so much.
Yes, Thomas, thank you
for letting us know about that. It is endlessly fascinating to me to hear about these little details, like these little things.
I was going to say that I'm loving that people around the world are listening to our podcast. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, we get Australia, Germany, the UK. They're from all over, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
for listening to us from Lord, all over the place. It's always amazing to hear from folks, you know, especially from around the world who, you know, are experiencing the show for the first time or have been fans of the show for a long time. And it's always fun, you know, to talk about like cultural context and stuff and know that some of that has been helpful to sort of explain where the show is coming from. Yeah, I don't know. It's neat.
Yeah, it totally is.
All right. I think we can at what appears to be about the 1 hour and 40 minute mark, begin to wrap this one up.
Yes. I feel like we've I like run a marathon, but I don't feel winded. So I don't know. I think the light therapy thing is working.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got one of those for Sheila because she asked for it. So.
Oh yeah. Does she like it?
Yeah. I don't know yet. It's a Christmas gift.
Oh, okay.
But she totally knows about it. So.
Oh, okay. It's awesome.
I like how you're whispering.
Cut this part out.
nobody on the Patreon rat us out. Nobody.
Yeah. Snitches get stitches.
Oh my God. That about wraps it up for this episode of Morgan Dorks. You can check out our Patreon if you're not a dirty snitch. You can sign up at patreon.com/MorganDorks. For $1 a month, you can support this silly little mission and listen to an unedited version of each podcast a few days before it airs, as long as you're not a friggin' rat. As always, please feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. I can't cut some of that now because I referenced it in the outro. As always, please feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at MorganDorks. Email us at MorganDorks@gmail.com or check out our website, anchor.fm/MorganDorks. We're also on Facebook. Just search for MorganDorks. We'll show up. Special thanks, as always, to Outpost Daria Reborn. Link is in the show notes. Speaking of the show notes, be sure to check them out for, again, that conversation that I had with Dougie Style this past Wednesday. It was a great little Instagram live chat. We covered so much stuff and it was so much fun. Thank you so much again, Dougie Style, for that conversation. It was really a blast. Also, as always, thank you so much, Nyssa.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for showing up even after your stupid cat gives you a heart attack. Oh, I love your cat. He's the worst.
I love him too. I hate him so much. I love him. And thank you, listeners. We're through four seasons of this damn thing.
Holy hell. That is crazy.
We'll see you again in 2 weeks or thereabouts. The holidays might play a little bit of a role there, but we plan to see
happy
you in
holidays,
2 weeks.
Happy holidays, folks.
Yeah, by the way, happy holidays. Hopefully you're being safe, first of all.
Yes.
But
don't
you know,
be
secondly,
stupid.
No, please, please don't do anything stupid. I know it sucks, but you know, play it safe. Hopefully we're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel soon with this thing.
Zoom.
In the meantime, try to enjoy your holiday season.
Yes.
So assuming nothing goes catastrophically wrong with my cat's organs, we'll see you again in 2 weeks for the first half of our coverage of the first Daria movie, Is It Fall Yet? Here on Morgendorks.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.